Today's topic's going to be a little bit, it may or may not be right on par with my normal way of addressing things. I'm going to be talking about the healthcare decision that came out by the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what I'm going to talk about today. What I did the other day is I reviewed it, I read it, I tried to determine what it was they were saying to us, and my obligation then was to come back here on this Faith and Freedom Show that I call Preservative Talk Radio, to determine what it is exactly, how it really affects us, how it affects you, how it affects me. But not, but really, I always try to go back to the point where I discuss by what authority is something done. I was listening to the previous radio show and some of the comments about the economic system and seeing what's coming and comparing the freedom that we have in America or even around the world compared to what was seen 20 years ago or 40 years ago. And I will say, compared to things in history, there's a certain amount of freedom that has happened in the current, even in the last 40 years, I think globally, because of the influence, positive influence of the Western Christian world, the Western Christian mindset, and the influence of the good news of salvation through Jesus, and that we're free to do those things that are righteous. We don't have to be mere men competing with one another in sometimes violent ways, but we can actually love our neighbor. If we love God, we can actually love our neighbor as ourselves. And there's where our righteousness comes from. It comes from Almighty God, not from our particular piety or forcing our religion on other people by the power of the sword. So there's certain freedoms that have come to this country and around the world, even increasing the last few years. But there was a turnaround probably about 100 years ago where you began to see global thinkers, you know, guys getting together and really thinking on a kind of almost they had a good intention. They had the intention of making peace throughout the world. How could we agree together to benefit from one another with free commerce and somewhat regulated commerce? And how do you make sure the other guy behaves properly? So they began to over-police, I think, over-police their international relations. And the only way to really pull it off when you're going to police something and if you want to have something done, sometimes you become fearful and you begin to control your situation in such a way that you make sure that nobody can make a mistake. Nobody can do the wrong thing. You're actually preventing people from having the ability to do right or wrong. You began to police it. So I'd say about 100, particularly about 100 years ago, we began to see a move toward, I think back in the Woodrow Wilson era and stuff like that, even when there was this massive international conflict that brought about World War One, at the same time, there was this move to try to consolidate some of these countries and get the thinkers together to make policies that would feed upon a larger scale global peace that would be created by the hands of man. Very well intentioned. Very well intentioned. The problem is we forget where we get our authority. We forget where we get the motivation to do that which is right. The motivation to do that which is right in each man comes from his accountability to the Creator, our Heavenly Father, and the redemption that is available and whether or not we've appropriated it through the blood of Jesus. So this is Christian radio. I call it Preservative Talk Radio. It may seem extreme to people, but a lot of people can't handle extreme. And so that's why I'm thrilled about being able to broadcast this stuff, because it challenges people who believe themselves to be intellectual, believe themselves to be spiritual, and believe themselves to be liberated or actually in a stupor. So it is competitive. It is, please challenge me on this. If I say something that you think is a little bit over the top, or if you think is something like a religious fanatic would say, well, then, of course, you can contact us. We can dialogue about it on the radio. So here we go. I appreciate the Liberty Works Radio Network, guys. Give me a chance to broadcast this Faith and Freedom Show, my Preservative Talk Radio. Again, if you'd like to find out how to contact us, go to preservativetalkradio.com. So leading into this healthcare decision, it's this whole national healthcare thing. Many of us who talk about it in sort of a complaining way. You know, it's like we're a bunch of right-wing Republicans who are against the Democratic proposed Democratic Party's proposal. So because somebody, the other guys proposed it, we're against it. Well, I'm not a Republican. I'm not. I'm so conservative, Republicans think I'm liberal because they don't understand. Of course, I'm so liberal, Democrats think I'm Republican because they don't understand. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, with Preservative Talk Radio, is try to engage the culture in such a way where I introduce to you that there is ultimately an authority. There's ultimately a plan, a fixed benchmark that we need to measure to. And that everything we do, if it doesn't meet that measurement, if it doesn't meet that benchmark, we're going to reap catastrophe. Depending on how far it is from the benchmark is the proportion to which we're going to find catastrophe. So that's a David Allen Carmichael-ism in Preservative Talk Radio. So with people having intentions, they say, well, how could I do good around the world? Well, if I had more power, if I had more influence, if my thoughts could wield a greater weight, then more good can be done. So let me use the power of government to do it. The problem is people who are in, let's say, well-approved circles are in influential positions around people who are elected to government think that what they think is the best thing for everybody. And they don't realize there's mechanisms to give people an opportunity to do good things, but at the same time being checked and that their passions don't go too far because they're limited vision. And that's why government was instituted. Those who instituted the government in America that we currently serve with or who serve us, what was done was those people who put it together realized that men have a bent toward doing the wrong thing. They do. And that government isn't that necessary. They believe that the more government you had, the more danger it was to society. They realize that some government was necessary because you have evil people. And evil people need to have something to keep them in check so that they don't intrude upon the peaceful lives of people who are righteous. So that's why government's there. The problem is they also understood that the more government that you create, the more intrusion is going to be on the lives of even the innocent who are righteous, because it just is something that grows uncontrollably. So their perspective was that government was not the end all. Government would ultimately was a dangerous thing. It's like a medication that's very helpful in small quantities, but becomes toxic when you go past a certain threshold. So no matter how good we want to do something, we have to stop and think, well, what power, what authority do we actually have to implement our plan? And is it right? Do the ends justify the means? My passions, my particular thing that I think is best for everybody, is that justification for usurping or supplanting or bypassing authority? And that's the structure of the Constitution and those things in law that keep people from having to come to another party to have their passion ideas examined to see whether it's better to implement them or whether it's really a dangerous innovation. So that's what we're going to do here on Preservative Talk Radio. It's going to be challenging to you intellectually. It's very deliberate. Hopefully, ultimately, it's going to challenge you spiritually. I think that's my ultimate mission in life, is to challenge you spiritually. But for most people in the culture today, you can't open that door until you first tap on it, ring the doorbell, with addressing the things that people think and renewing the foundation of their mind and how they look at things. So here it is. Here's what the U.S. Supreme Court said just last Thursday, a few days ago. He said, this is Chief Justice Roberts, essentially is the one who facilitated this ruling. Today we resolve constitutional challenges to two provisions of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010. Again, who put together this Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act? Who was it? It was the Congress of the United States. Is the Congress of the United States supposed to run the world? There's the question. Are they, in particular, God's absolute and sole minister of God for our good? Are they above the law? Are they above the mechanisms of law? Are they above government structure so that they would be able to determine what is best for everybody? What do they represent? Do they represent themselves? Do they represent you? Do they represent our Heavenly Father? That's the question. I'm going to throw that out there. That's really what needs to be examined by everybody with regard to this. So we're going to talk about this Affordable Patient Protection Affordable Care Act of 2010. Who does it apply to? What we're discovering is that the intentions of Congress now are reaching into every aspect, that it's supposed to apply to every person. In fact, if you actually read the bill, it said that this was to bring affordable health care to all Americans. All Americans. Is that every American who is born here? Is that every American who is north of, you know, somewhere between Antarctica and the Arctic Circle? Is that North and South America? What is the purpose? Is it to include every single man, woman, and child under the control that their health, they say health care, I used to call it medical services or medical care. Let me call it medical care. Is it so that the Congress makes and takes complete control on what mechanisms will be available in America for every single man, woman, and child of every age? And is there somebody under the power of Congress who's going to be making decisions for each person and that care that they receive? That's the question. That's really what is being proposed, if you connect the dots. We're going to try to connect the dots here. So Judge Roberts went on to say the individual mandate, which requires individuals to purchase a health insurance policy. Now stop there for a second. Is it for health care or is it for health insurance? What's the purpose of government? Under the principles that the people who founded America, the American government, you would think that it would be their obligation to protect you in your property, happiness, health, life, and liberty rights, to give you the ability to get medical care from that doctor whose services you think best suited for your particular need. That would be theoretical if you've stepped back a few feet and think about what the real purpose of government is and what it is that they're designed to care for. That might be something that might be said. So what we're going to have to do is I want you to just regroup, rethink, reprogram your mind and think, what is the purpose of government and what relation it has with regulating the, I'm going to quote the words they use here, healthcare. Is it really healthcare that is what the government is supposed to be doing or supposed to be regulating? So we're going to come back in a few minutes and continue with this Preservative Talk Radio. See preservativetalkradio.com.